you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
My name is Godfrey.
Enjoy that break. It's the night owl time right now. Night owls, I hope you in there, boy. Yes, son. We don't ever do that. We just fucking like, around. No, we don't do that. Gotta,
let's do it from now. Okay.
Oh, no, that's the DJ Who Kid.
So I was like, OVO.
Yeah. So, yo, guys, we're back here with Angela Yee. You know what I'm saying? We've been talking and chatting. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. And you know what I'm saying? It's feeling good. Angela Yee from, hey, Way Up with Angela Yee on iHeartRadio, 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, 10 a.m. You all should be listening to her. And she's doing amazing. Only a year and some change that she's been doing it, and it's doing very well. 22 decades she will be celebrating in November.
I said two decades.
And then you, after you, all right, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
he
I thought.
He did say 22 decades.
You were like this, Godfrey. You did say 20 years. But yeah, and it's a pleasure that you came finally to the podcast.
It's a pleasure that you finally invited me.
Really? I didn't know, because you know your expression on your face stays the same.
That's right.
And you know, you don't know if she hates you or not. She's just like,
who do I hate? Stop it.
No, we wouldn't know. You can't tell by her.
She looked at me. Jesus, that was weird. And
I do walk away
she
sometimes
said, who do
like,
we hate?
I hate him.
And she keeps that face. And I'm going to tell you, when you hear the name Angela Yee, you go, oh, what is she? What is that? What is the origin of your name? Yeah, what is your makeup?
My makeup.
You're a genetic makeup.
My mom is from a little island called Montserrat. She's black.
Montserrat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And my dad is Chinese.
Chinese. Where did they meet?
They used to work at a department store together in Brooklyn.
Oh, what department store was this?
It was called Martin's at the time.
I know Martin's.
You know Martin's?
Yeah, I'm a Brooklyn kid forever.
So they both worked at Martin's.
Really? What, did they sell shoes or something?
I don't know.
It's like a department store.
Yeah,
like,
it's like a department
store. That's
what
I'm saying. They could have been in the shoe section.
I have no idea. I wasn't there.
Oh, right.
But I just know they both worked there.
And then they met. And your father had game. He must have had game to get your mom's.
Yeah,
huh?
I think they got married because she was pregnant. Because if I count it down right,
okay, they were dating. They were dating.
Dating, and then they got married.
Okay.
And my mom was what, 20, I think, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was 22.
Oh wow, cool man! Is this just you?
And my brother. I have an older brother.
Oh, okay.
So my mom is exactly 20 years older than my brother by like 3 days. Her birthday is September 26th. His is the 29th.
Oh, wow. Cool. Wow.
And then I'm a year younger than my brother.
So what part of China is your pops from? Is he?
Don't say China like that. You sound like Donald
China.
Trump.
I just go, China.
You said, what part of China?
No, I said, what sort of China? I just say, China.
Didn't he say China?
Okay. What part of Kung Fu Place is your father from?
I have no idea.
Did he know Kung Fu? Did he know Bruce Lee? Or did he know Jackie Chan? I love both of them, but I know your father knew them because they're Chinese.
My dad was born in the United States, so I don't know.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
So
he was born here.
Oh, born in New York. So he's in New York.
He was born in Texas, actually.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Texas Chinese. Is it yeehaw or knee-haw? God. Yeah. Well, okay. That's dope. Chinese American.
Yep.
And boom, saw your mother. Boom. And your Montserrat isn't that there's a mountain called Montserrat. There's Montserrat, where's that? Where's that?
It's right by Antigua.
Antigua.
So literally you could see it from there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. That's where my grandfather's from, Antigua.
Antigua, because you're part of Antiguan. Yeah. Look at all this.
Okay.
Caribbean.
Hey. Hey. A little related.
Maybe.
Hey. Is that soca feeling hot?
Listen, that's
feeling
that.
hot.
The guy who sings that is from Montserrat.
No, what?
He has Arrow.
Feeling hot. The original?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's from Montserrat.
Did it. I got that thing about me. Feeling hot.
I don't know how you knew that.
I was being bigoted. I was being a bigot. And I just said, it's probably
on it.
I was like, it's probably their song.
No,
feeling hot.
There's not a lot of people that's like famous from Montserrat, but that was like the claim to fame. When I was young, they used to be like, Arrow's from Montserrat.
Wow, his name is Arrow from like the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, we actually met him one time.
Hold on. Hey! Watch us get demonetized. Every time I see
that's
something,
keeping it low.
You know what's so funny? Every time I see something, like when we see our reruns, it goes, no money for you, money. Assholes.
Red
copyright infringement.
The red dollar sign.
But we played it low.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. Okay. That's so fucking cool. So now, where did you go to high school?
I went to high school in Brooklyn and in New Jersey.
In Brooklyn, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of kid were you? Were you noisy? Were you in trouble? Were you quiet? What were you? You look very sneaky.
I was bad. My parents definitely didn't think I would be successful in life.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Like?
First of all, I used to cut school all the time.
And smoking that marijuana?
I didn't really smoke or drink or nothing like that.
Not even pink champagne?
No. But I did smoke some cigarettes once.
Really?
Only one time.
Because they wanted you to be part of the gang. Come on, Angie.
No, you know what? It's crazy. My best friend across the street, her dad used to make us go to the store and get him cartons of cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
And I was in like fifth grade. So one day we were like.
He was like this. Give me some garden cigarette.
You know,
I need some cigarette. Why some money?
He died of lung cancer. He couldn't even get off the couch.
Go get your friend Angie and go get me some cigarette. Listen, ladies, you better get some cigarettes or you're not gonna get no candy. I want to just tell you something real quick. Don't be like me and smoking yet. But Angie, you should at least smoke one and see if you like it. Listen, you kids stay in school. Because if you don't stay in school, then you're getting bugged up.
Angie, what high school did you go to?
I went to Poly Prep.
Yeah. Poly Prep.
That's where I graduated from. That's in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And then I went to Columbia High School in New Jersey for 2 years.
Okay, cool. Shit. Were you a popular kid?
I would say.
Sort of.
I had a lot of friends.
You had a lot of friends? Were you a lot of friends? Were you like in a group of girls that were the cute girls and you were like assholes? Like, you can't be with us.
The
we
mean
are
girls.
I wasn't a mean girl, but I did have like, my friends were cute.
Right. That's
like
good.
I had a little crew. You know?
Right. Everybody. That's
because I was part of the crew.
I know in my high school, shout out to Lane Tech High School in Chicago, there was these girls, there's Jessica and a bunch of girls. They were called themselves the beautiful ones from Prince's song.
Oh, I love that song.
And they were all like fly. Yeah. And they were all like, and they had jackets, the beautiful ones. Oh, we'd here they come. They literally were like, they were like the pink ladies in Greece. They were like, let's, and it was like, uh-oh, here comes the beautiful ones. And there was one girl in that crew, Beatrice. Woo, she was fire, boy. Goodness, there comes Beatrice. But Beatrice was nice.
What were you like?
What? I was popular. I was funny, athlete, track and field.
Okay.
Football, and I was popular with my buddies. We were all funny dudes and cool, just regular
dudes. Some of the
dudes.
Ladies liked you.
And some here and there, we was all right, It was all right.
I see a yearbook photo.
Oh, nah, man, fuck all that. Because, anytime you see your yearbook, you still look goofy as fuck. You're like.
Yeah. And then you see what you wrote under your thing.
Right. Debate team. So that's cool. So you went off high school. Were you popular? Did you do good in grades?
I was actually like a straight A student.
That's what's up. Yeah.
And you were cutting school.
And I used to cut school. I cut school so many times, I almost got left back.
That's that Asian.
Yeah, they were like, listen.
That Asian
if you
kicked
miss
in.
One more day. That's how I got caught. I got caught because they sent a notice home. My mom was like, you haven't missed any school. I was like.
And that agent kicked in and said, don't concentrate on the finger or you'll miss all the heavenly glory.
And actually, that's why I went to school in New Jersey for 2 years, 10th and 11th grade. And then they sent me back to Brooklyn after that because they were like, there's no way you should be cutting school and getting straight A's.
I feel like you got transferred to a new prison. Like they went back.
They were like, you got to go back.
I went back to San Quentin. Then I was in Rikers. Then they moved me over to...
where was Pauline Prep?
It's in Bay Ridge.
Oh, okay.
So
I went to Brooklyn Tech. And Bishop Blockford.
Oh, my dad went to Brooklyn Tech.
Yeah.
Well, look at this. I like all this New York shit. You in New York.
Shit.
I'm on New York.
Bishop Blockland was lit. The basketball team.
Yeah, Mark Jackson
Mark Jackson, who got dissed, the coach of the from the play for the Knicks. Who got played with Golden Gate. No, he got they fired him from and it was his team.
Uh-huh.
I hope he finds because I think he's a great coach
he's
fantastic. And he has a podcast now, that guy.
Really?
Mark Jackson does.
I know that.
From there you go to college. Mm-hmm. Okay, which college is that?
I went to Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut.
Wesleyan, all you graduates from Wesleyan. What, I don't know what your
yeah, there's, I don't know what that
what's, your, what's your what's your what's your mascot? Yeah. The Wesleyan Owls.
I don't want to tell. It's a cardinal.
Wesleyan Cardinals. What's wrong with that?
That's a good mascot.
I think it is. I'm not sure. No, I'll be honest.
This is their call. There used to be a cardinal when I was living in the Bronx.
Let me make sure that's true. I think I might have made that up.
Oh, okay. You're just making shit up.
I do. I think I made that up.
It's like the Wesleyan Dodo Birds.
I wouldn't say we were necessarily.
Yeah. Oh, that's fire. That's actually
Wesleyan Cardinals.
That's kind of a fire.
That is? Okay, there we go.
She don't even remember. She goes, hey, is that what it is?
Cardinal.
So Wesleyan Cardinals, because there used to be a cardinal when I lived in the Bronx. I lived in a house in the Bronx. There used to be a cardinal in the springtime would come and I would hear it. It was a cardinal right in my tree.
I have
every
no idea
time.
What a cardinal looks like or
it's
sounds
a little
like.
A red bird.
It's okay. a red bird.
A red bluebird.
You don't know what a cardinal looks like?
I didn't even know we had those here.
What? Yeah. No, they come around. Blue. I've seen a blue jay. Those are beautiful. When you see blue jays.
They got hawks in
yeah, there's hawks. Oh, you never seen
a cardinal. It's cute.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I hate birds.
Damn.
Why?
Ever since I was very young, I saw that movie, The Birds.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I've never liked birds.
A fucked up movie.
They were pecking people's eyes out.
Ruined my life. If I see birds, I get terrified. That is the one thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was
a good movie, though.
I'm never feeding a bird.
Damn, you are.
If he broke his leg, too bad.
This is as nice as she is. It's the birds that she can't stand. Fuck a bird.
Because think about it, they have a lot of power. What can you do?
That's true.
They fly. You can't do anything about it.
You just smack them.
You can smack them if you quit.
I was on my motorcycle, got hit with a pigeon at 70 miles an hour, and it just knocked the wind out of me.
Damn.
Why you ain't just smack him?
Well, he ran into my
chest. You said just smack him.
They don't. He died.
I've had pigeons.
I got the wind knocked out of me.
I have pigeon shit on my head, like, and they were just like, bong, bong. I was like, and the pigeon was like, yeah, nigga. Yeah.
That's good luck.
I think it was a Brooklyn pigeon. It was like, yes, yeah, sir. All in your shit on you, boy. Drop shit like a motherfucking. I drop shit like a raincoat. Absolute. I always burn to the roots. And the pigeon was rapping through. Yeah, nigga. I was like, pong, pong.
I don't even know how people have pet birds, but you know.
Yeah, you really.
I really don't like them.
Birds.
I don't like them.
You need some therapy about this shit right here. This shit.
At least he's not perfect. Birds and what she. I'm surprised you didn't transfer schools. I need another mascot.
I'm not going to no games. Have you seen Mike Tyson be having the pigeons?
Yeah, come on.
He used to love pigeons.
He loved pigeons. He loved them. And he's an expert.
That's how he started fighting. There was this older
someone
dude.
Someone broke
that
a pigeon's head.
Ripped
I think
head
it
off.
Was Angie. And you know, he's like this. I remember when I was small. And this girl named Angie, she was like half Chinese or something like that. And I was flipping my pigeons. I was flipping my pigeons, right? And I said, wow, Angie, she was real cute. I want to take her and see my pigeons. And then I brought her up there and I said, yo, you like pigeons? She's like, I fucking hate birds. And then I'm not even fucking playing. I'm not no bitch. You know, I'm a real nigga. You know, I'm a real nigga. And then all of a sudden, Angie, she grabs the pigeon. I thought she was going to pet his head and she snapped it. And that's why I said, I'm going to fuck that bitch up. I swear to God. I couldn't fucking believe that shit. Birds are like my life. Birds, I love birds. And she fucking snapped the head of the bird. That's why I'm still going to come after her and snap her head.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. That's just the idea of it is disgusting.
Wow. Well, okay. Jesus. Okay. We went to
She's
college.
Really uncomfortable.
She's really fucked up about
Y'all
it.
Y'all saw that movie. They ganged up. They coming in the house.
What about rats? You saw Ben too?
What about rats?
Ben was friendly, right?
Yeah, but it was Michael Jackson sang the theme song.
But really, Ben? Birds are just flying rats.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
The rats ate people's face. You know, but you don't have a problem.
You remember Fruit for the Gods?
Yes.
When the big giant
the big
rats.
Big giant rats.
What about Willard? Remember Willard the dude had the bag of rats?
What about Fivo Moskowitz?
How about Ratatouille? What the fuck is Fivo Moskowitz? Moskowitz.
You don't know Fivo Moskowitz?
Oh, what is that?
Oh, Fivo.
The Great Frontier Mouse. Oh, that's right. Fivo. Oh, that's my bad. Ratatouille?
No, Fivo.
What about Toucan Sam? He's
what about happy? The Rescuers? No.
But you can't tell me that rats are really just flying, like birds are flying rats.
No, squirrels they're not. They don't have tails. They don't have tails.
Do you know what a rat feathers?
What?
Do you know what a rat king is?
It's the main rat. Isn't it the main
when
rat?
When they get knotted together because they're living in such close quarters, their tails get tied together and then they die off one by one. And the biggest one travels and like chooses where they go.
Oh,
yeah.
Rat getting those colonies.
It's
dope. Oh my God.
It looks delicious.
And she's more worried about the little cardinal than the fucking.
At least they fly away.
Crown of rats.
Crown of ground fucking. Ground squirrels.
They carry disease and all kinds of shit.
I'm not in close quarters with rats either, so.
Well, you live
plus
nice.
They didn't. Alfred Hitchcock didn't do that movie, too.
That's I do hate rats and birds. And I do say that, like. Garbage pickup day in New York is the worst day.
Yeah.
Because there are rats everywhere. And they do not care. They will run right in front of you.
And shout out to the garbage dudes. When you talk to them, they go, yeah, we just pick up a bag of rats, just fucking shoo them away.
It's awful.
I couldn't even work for sanitation because of the rats.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be like, you know what I'm saying?
You get numb from it.
Do you?
No way.
Well, you worked in the holes.
I worked in manholes. And they used to, Chinatown used to have where you would shine a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole wall would be
rat
water bugs.
Oh my God.
Covered the whole.
I can't.
Because in Chinatown, they hose everything down. And
then
they
cook the bugs?
No, they all the fish goop. All the fish goop this goes in the manhole.
And then the bugs.
And then the bugs and the rats.
Stop saying manhole.
Yo, pause. Pause. He goes, yo, I used to go in the manhole.
Pause.
You ever watch It Is What It Is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they would
pause everything.
Because, yeah, yeah.
So funny.
Because, you know, Cameron would have been like this, a manhole. Yo, I'm from Harlem. I'm from Harlem. You keep saying manhole.
You got the laugh.
Hey, I'm from Harlem. Yo, you keep saying manhole. You got to pause on that, cuz.
Manhole.
You keep saying the manhole. Yo, on some real shit, you my mans, but you done said manhole like 4 times, huh? With no pause. Fuck that.
That's what we doing.
Yeah, it's like, yo.
All right, so back to the manholes when you were in them.
Yeah.
Yo.
It's where the cables are, the telephone cables.
So you would see the rats?
The whole wall would be moving.
And where you got numb to it?
Yeah, you get used to it. I worked underneath in the crawl space on 119th Street in Harlem, and they had water bug.
What about the rats?
You bang the hammers and they break out.
God. Have you ever had an experience where they didn't and they just were like?
No, but I had.
They was like, yo, stop all that knocking.
I had,
can I help you?
Yo, my man, whose man is this waking us up in the morning?
They like this. Yo, my man, all that banging you doing, ain't nobody running from you, dog.
I had water bugs So they have a, like what a steam condition from underneath the ground is the steam pipes. Where you know how you see the stacks and they be steaming,
yeah.
And the steam condition was underneath there, and the water bugs were dying and they're falling on you like. Bleak, bleak,
oh
bleak.
Hell no! You couldn't pay me enough. Were you getting paid good for that though?
Yeah.
Hell yeah! You should get paid good for that shit.
Just making sure.
So. Yeah. Before we dive back into today's show, let me tell you all about our newest sponsor, Capsulite. Now, we've all had those nights out where we're having a blast, enjoying a drink or two, or maybe a bit more, and we're not thinking about tomorrow, but then tomorrow comes, and oh boy, do we feel it. But guess what? Capsulite helps keep those dreaded next day woes at bay. Capsulite comes in a small, sleek package, so you can bring it with you and take it before and during your night out. And let me tell you, it's the most potent thing on the market. We're talking about a product that's not only doctor-formulated, but specifically designed to support your liver and tackle those nasty, toxic byproducts of alcohol, the real culprits behind why you feel so rough the day after. Now, you're probably wondering if it works, right? Here's the scoop. I took it, enjoyed my evening, of course, responsibly, and the next day I was genuinely surprised. I woke up feeling normal. Not just hydrated, but actually ready to tackle the day. No morning after fog or regret. So if you're planning your next night out and want to keep it memorable for the right reasons, maybe give this a shot. Go to Capsulite.com. That's Capsulite. That's C-A-P as in Peter, S as in Sam, U-L-Y-T as in Tom E.com and use promo code GAS and get 30% off your order at checkout. That's Capsulite.com, promo code GAS, or click the link in the description. Prevent feeling awful the day after drinking with Capsulite. Let's get back to the damn show. So you now, what was your major in college?
English.
English. So were you going to go to law school?
I wanted to be a teacher.
You would have been a good teacher.
And you are a teacher.
I could see you grade school, like kindergarten.
I did 6th and 7th grade at that time.
Oh, no. That's when they're like, yo, Miss Yee, what's good?
Yeah, they were like, age ain't nothing but a number. You're 11. Get out of here.
Because when you're 11, you do a lot of this.
Disgusting.
Let me squeeze the button, make the kiss. Don't do that. Don't do that, young man. No. That's sexual assault.
Yeah, they'd be like this. Yeah, yeah.
No, honestly, they were very nice and polite.
Oh, that's good.
They were good. They actually.
Oh, you taught?
Yeah. Well, it was part of the program for when I was in school.
Was it low income? School. Like one of those like Dangerous Minds, Michelle Pfeiffer?
It was a public school in Washington.
Was it one of those like, you sit down, Derek. You ain't my mama. Fuck you. Potential. Stop it.
The kids were
go ahead and run, Derek. That's all you ever do is run. I'm tired of running. You ever see a hardcore kid for the project cry? Because they're like this. Yo, I'm tired of this shit, man. I'm just saying I'm trying to better myself. I got a little sister and shit because my dad got shot.
I know, Derek, I know. And we're here for you.
So what are you saying? You care about me, though? Yo, you don't understand, though. You know what I'm saying? Ever since I was little.
We love the kids.
Ever since I was little, I used to read and stuff. And then my friends used to make fun of me. Let me show you what I drew. Oh, my God. I didn't know you could draw. Yeah. I got watercolors and all that in my bag. I traded my guns for watercolors.
On the next episode of Black Child Acting.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so you quit that. You did that for 2 years.
You ain't never gonna be shit, Derek. You like your father. You ain't shit. You both ain't shit.
But I will say that experience made me look at, like, you know, when you grow up in school and there's other kids and kids get made fun of for different things.
Yeah, of course.
You never know what's happening with kids at home. And it is tough. The school was 95% Dominican.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So.
Everybody's going to be a livery cab driver. God damn. What is your dream?
My dream is to get one of the big black cars.
Did you teach is Cabrini?
No, it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. but.
And to all you Dominicans, it's a joke, okay? A yoke.
And they thought that's I was Dominican because I, you know, I can look Dominican.
Yeah, right.
If people don't know me. Right. And you know what else I realized? Because some of the teachers, when I first started, thought I was a student. Because I was young. young. I was in college.
You already look like a baby.
Look young. And I just think about
they told you to sit down, go to your chair.
They would be very rude to me. And I'm like, this is how y'all talk to the kids? Like, I'm
they thought you were.
Yeah, they did. The kids were taller than me. And some of them.
Angela Lee had detention twice. Young lady,
she's like, I'm a teacher.
Shut up and sit down and be quiet.
So you did that, and then you got into, that's when you start studying English.
So I was an English major. I thought I was going to be a teacher. And then when I graduated from college, I was like, I don't know if I want to wake up that early.
And you was looking at them wages too.
It was a tough job. You know what? It was crazy. I didn't really think about money when I was thinking about what I wanted to do.
That's dope. You know,
I didn't think about that.
How things have changed.
When did you get into the radio? What led you into radio?
What really started was my first job was working for Wu-Tang out of college.
You worked. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I interned there, and then I worked there when I graduated.
You worked for the Wu-Tang that you were managing?
Wu-Tang Corporation.
There was a Wu-Tang. Where was the headquarters? Staten Island?
So first I worked in Staten Island for Wu-Tang Management.
Good. You was there, man. Jesus Christ.
And then I worked at their office in Manhattan, 99 University Place. I was RZA's brother. I was his assistant.
Yo, what? Yeah. That's fucking dope.
Yes.
Like, you were like
so
there.
So how did you get your spot? Your radio shot. Yeah, what was your radio shot?
I mean, it was a whole thing. Like, first I worked for Wu-Tang. Then I worked for D'Angelo.
Damn.
Records. Then after that, I worked doing marketing. Then after that, I worked for Eminem.
Oh, jeez.
But then after I worked for Eminem, I ended up working at his radio station at Sirius.
That was for Shade 45. I used to go up there for the Gomez Brothers and Who Kids.
I was there when we all started, like when the station started.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm. That was when what's his name? What's the guy?
Cypher Sounds?
Nope. The other guy that was running it, the Jewish cat.
Sway.
Reef.
Reef. Reef was there when I was there. And so I started off on Cypher Sound show.
Okay.
And I was his sidekick. And so Eminem's manager hired me. Paul Rosenberg hired me.
Okay.
To do that. And then when Cypher left, I got the morning show.
Oh, wow. So you got on Sirius XM.
Yep.
And how long did you do that show?
I was there for 6 years.
Damn, that's putting some work, man.
That's a bid.
And then from there,
I went to iHeart. It was Clear Channel at the time. And then I've been there for, it'll be 14 years this year.
Wow.
And so wait, because when you were doing the work in the music, did you see all the dirt that was going on? Was there a lot of fucked up shit in the music business? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the music business is fucked up. I didn't witness a lot of things because I wasn't around.
You didn't hang around.
But there were certain things. I was there when they happened. Like when Unga stabbed at the party, I was at that party.
Okay.
When Suge also, got at All Star Weekend, I was at the table right next to him when that happened.
What happened with Suge?
In Vegas at All Star Weekend when they beat him up, knocked him out.
That barber knocked him out?
I was there when that happened and everybody started. Wow.
Talk about a fade. Oh, really? You were there?
Yeah, so I was at the table right next to them. But like, there's a lot of things that I've seen.
Yeah.
But, and a lot of like things that people talk about. And I was like, oh shit, I was there when that happened.
Right, right. And you, because when you would go to these parties, like remember when there was a Source Awards, was it always like a dangerous, like something is going to happen tonight. It just feels fucked up.
I think like going to the tunnel, you felt like there was always going to be a fight.
Tunnel was crazy.
Yeah. Tunnel was crazy.
And I used to go to like all the events, the Palladium.
Yeah.
What was the Union?
Grant's Tomb, Limelight.
What was the one on Union Street on the corner that used to be that's the pet store now? Right on Union Square.
Oh, Union Square. Oh,
Underground.
Oh, I've never been there.
The Underground.
Well, that is the pet store. Yeah, it is the pet shop. Yeah.
Underground and
Petco. Petco is there.
And but that's the Octagon. The club part of life back then was amazing.
Yeah. Man.
You know what I mean? Remember Club Bed?
Yeah.
It had all the beds inside.
When I got to New York 97, 98, I mean, I went out every single.
Yeah.
Me and Artie Fuqua.
Oh.
That's when I ran
into
him.
And that's how I know Artie Fuqua. I used to intern at MTV.
Okay.
His best friend used to work at MTV. That's who I interned for.
Who was his best friend?
It was this guy named Fred Jordan.
Oh, Fred. Yeah.
I used to intern for Fred.
Damn.
Yeah. He when I was in
college.
Passed
away. Mm-hmm. I remember because we used to eat breakfast with Fred Jordan late night. This is when, like you said, what's the place on 17th and 7th?
The coffee shop.
We used to do, hang out coffee shop in the cafeteria. We hung out everywhere. We'd be on Broadway shopping.
Until like the sun came up.
Yeah. At the atrium.
APT.
I used to be, I used to hang out with Black Moon. And,
okay.
Evil D.
Yeah.
And we would hang
Evil
out.
Evil D DJ my birthday party when you.
Evil D is on the mix. We used to do this thing at Cozy's on fucking Broadway.
Oh, the burger place, diner.
Right. Yeah. We would call it till 6 a.m. So we would all just rip on each other until when 6 a.m. hit, we would stop. Because the owner of Cozy's just sat there laughing because we would just bag on each other.
It
was so great. Yeah. Man, the club scene in New York. Remember Life? Remember Life? Life. There was Spa, Suede, Pangea, fucking
outside.
All of them.
Joe's Public.
You ever go to the Paradise Garage? You ever go to the garage?
I don't think I went I don't think I went to that one. I went to so many Nocturne. I went to so many clubs.
Lot
61, Bungalow 8.
Yeah.
But that's where I would see Mariah Carey over there.
Yeah.
She was mad cool.
You run into anybody.
They
were out.
People used to be outside.
Listen, I used to see, I remember in Spa, that's when I ran into David Allen Greer, and we had mutual friends. I saw Whitney and Bobby Houston, Whitney Houston, and they were there partying. And they were like, me and Artie saw them. We said, yo, don't go Whitney. And she was like, you guys are funny. I remember, and there was Madonna, you see Lenny Kravitz. And man, damn.
What a time.
That shit, I mean, the club scene, New York should be embarrassed.
Yeah, but it is
on how trash it is right now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Well, I don't know because all the DJs.
Because I was like, did I get older and stop going out, or do kids still go like places? That.
Well, the pandemic kind of fucked a lot.
But even
of
before that,
it was whack before that. Yeah.
That's the music.
Remember Club Cheetah?
Hell, on 21st. And you don't know what would happen at Cheetah.
And it was on the same block as Justin's.
That's
wow.
I remember
Club Ohm.
Oh man, we used to go to all of that shit.
I used to run into Jay-Z at Club G.
Yes.
Yeah.
You would see them. You would see all
you
the rappers.
Everybody was outside.
Yeah.
And then the DJ Reach. There was Reach. There was Jusky. There was all of them. We knew all of the motherfuckers, man. And the bouncers we knew. The different bouncers would go to different clubs. Disco. Did you know Disco? There was a big 6'6" black dude. Disco would be like, y'all go inside, man. Don't be trying to bag on it. Because Artie would always bag on everybody. Artie would shit on everybody. Talk about, look at this nigga's shoes. Look at this nigga. He's like, Artie, get inside. Man,
I remember one time I tried ecstasy and I was
go ahead.
What club?
What happened?
Well, I was outside Club Cheetah.
Oh no. Ugh.
But I did break up a fight.
You don't wait, wow.
Because you get like very friendly when you're on it.
And then you were like, stop.
I was. So people were fighting outside and I was like, guys, it's not that bad. It's not that serious.
Really?
That's like, enough. That's enough.
I was like,
guys,
what's happening here?
I teach sixth grade.
I broke up a fight.
So now, okay, you're doing that. You're
what,
6 years. No, 6 years. Like 6 years, you're at that.
Three times.
You're at SiriusXM. So now you go to iHeart, and then you're. What show are you on there?
The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club started what year? I don't even.
That started in 2010.
Was it 2010? Because
Right?
I think I started to listen to it like 2016, 2015.
Hold on, let me make sure that's right.
Mike,
no, that's wrong.
That.
It's not 2010. Oh yeah, it is 2010.
Is that when? Is
yeah,
that 2010. Is that was you, Charlamagne, and what's the name?
Envy. Yeah.
That was when you guys. How did that form? Who created
so
that?
What happened was initially, they were talking to me about coming over to Power 105. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know where they wanted to put me. So when I was at Sirius, they wanted me to do like fill-ins, weekends, and things like that at first to get me like situated. Yeah. Sirius said no, because a lot of people were working at Sirius and at iHeart or High 97.
Yeah.
But they told me I couldn't do it at Sirius. And so I told them, I said, look, I told G-Spin, I said, I want to do this, but my job won't let me. And unless you have a full-time position available, which I would love, mm-hmm. you know, I can't do it because I didn't want to risk my full-time job
yeah.
for something that was just like a fill-in.
Right.
And so I was like, I would love to be here, but I can only do it if it's a full-time position that becomes available. Because I think he was trying to get me ready for that, but I don't mm-hmm. think they knew where they wanted to put me at
yeah.
first. And then, you know, things were getting shifted around and... the program director ended up contacting me. I was going to go to work in Philly and do mornings in Philly.
Because
a lot of people were reaching out to me, Atlanta, Philly,
okay,
trying to get me to leave Sirius and come there. And I was ready to leave Sirius anyway.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Yes.
for many reasons. But anyway, I was leaving a meeting with Philly with the program director there. And I was walking back to my car and that's when they called me from New York. And they were like, listen, we have an opportunity that could become available. We can't tell you too much about it because, you know, it's radio.
Right.
And, you know, we came in for a meeting and Charlamagne at the time wasn't working. Envy was already at Power 105.
Okay.
And
just so mixing? Does he just DJing?
He had like a 2 o'clock show, I think.
Okay.
And so they were like, G-Spin and Cadillac Jack was his name. He was like, we want to put you guys together as a morning show. They didn't have a name or anything yet.
Okay.
But it was like a top secret thing until yeah. it happened.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So then that's what...
Hi there, responsible adults over the age of 21 living in states where Delta 8 is legal. Want to get high? Really super duper legally high? Well, now's the time to go to YoDelta.com where you can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. So if you're over the age of 21 and living in the majority of states where this is legal, go to YoDelta.com and stock up on Delta 8. What's Delta 8? It's found in hemp and can be legally shipped to various states and get you high. At YoDelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your getting stoned needs. I can tell you that Delta 8 works and that these products should be taken responsibly. So once more. That's YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the GAS Digital Network. And if you use promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. Once more, that's promo code GAS for 25% off. YoDelta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super high.
When did this really start to gel? Because I didn't really think about the Breakfast Club yet.
Yeah, until it came on your radar.
Until it came on my radar. Was it low ratings at first?
At first it was, you know, and it's New York, so we're... Like 105 is not the station in New York that people
wasn't.
Were used to.
And it wasn't visual, right? Yeah. It wasn't visual.
No, not at all.
It was just audio.
We did like some sketches and stuff like that to let people know that we were coming. Oof. It did well though.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, it did when we first. Come on, give us a moment.
Hey, what are you doing? I don't know.
So we did sketches. He was like,
we did like some.
Is that a banana in your ear? Yeah.
Just to like promo that we were coming, and it took a minute for things to catch on because I think people weren't used to listening to that station.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they may not have been like, you know,
acclimated.
It's New York. People are so distracted.
Everything was hot 97, and then when they came on, you were like,
what?
Yo, there's a new station, and then you were like,
fuck that.
But I don't want to turn my wrist that
people
much.
People are so used to that. Yeah. And I think it does take time for anybody who's doing something like that for people to really recognize it. You know, you have to give it some time. You can't assume like this is out. Why isn't everybody here right away? Just like if you're doing a podcast, it's not going to right away.
Right. No.
It's a lot of consistency. It's a lot
of work.
Every
day. Yep. Oh, so damn. And then when did you guys go, oh, shit. Breakfast Club is
hot.
At the top. You know how the producer comes in. Guess what, guys? You're number one. Just like,
I would say this. There was a period of time when it didn't feel like it was going to work at all, where we thought we were going to get fired. But you know what really turned things around was this Ray J interview.
Which one was that?
Where?
Go ahead.
Oh, wait, come on. Come on, tell us.
He was beefing with Fab. And he was like... Yeah,
I was beefing with Fab.
Yeah, so he was in Vegas, and I actually was driving to work that morning. I had just left Vegas, and somebody called me like, "Yo, you still in Vegas?" I was like, "No." They were like, "You know, Ray J just got into a fight with Fab."
What?
And I was like, "What?" I was like, "I didn't hear anything about this." So I was looking all over. I didn't see anything about it.
Right.
I was searching on Twitter to see if anybody was talking about it, because I get a lot of information that way.
Yeah.
If something happens or a fight, if you go Google it on Twitter,
it'll come right
yeah,
up.
You'll find somebody talking yes. about it. But I only saw one person talking mm-hmm. about it on there. So I was on the radio. I was like, I heard Ray J got into a fight. And then an hour later, Billy J, who works for him, he still works for him to this day.
Yeah.
He calls me and he's like, yo, what's... Ray J said he wants to call in. Were you talking about him or something? And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Tell him to call. Tell him to call right now. It was like the end of the show.
Yeah.
So he calls in, and that's where he starts talking about he got an indoor pool. He got an outdoor pool. He starts talking about Fab, and he was just mad that Fab was not a comedian and was making fun of him and, you know, things like that.
Why was Fab mad at Ray J? Because did you know
he wasn't? He was just making jokes. You know, I think at that time Fab wasn't also on social media like that, so people okay. didn't know he had a sense of humor.
Oh right.
So Ray J was like playing the piano at Floyd Mayweather's house or something.
Well, I think I remember that shit. I remember that footage.
I had one wish.
Yeah, and then
I love Ray J.
And what does Fab say?
So Fab was, I guess, making fun of him. And
pause.
And Ray J. got mad. And I think Ray J was drunk, you know, high, whatever. I don't know. He'll tell you himself. And so he was like, you know, he was like, so I socked that. Like, he just was talking crazy. He was like, tell Fab to call up here. You know, he was just talking crazy. So that interview.
And that blew up.
So what was interesting is we were trying to put him on live because the show was about to end.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, Ray J, we're going to put you on right now. Don't curse. Don't say nothing. As soon as we put him on, he just started cursing. We were like, all right, hold on. We'll be right back. And you can see the listeners just go up.
Because
everybody must have been like, oh my God, Ray J. Jay's wilding and he's about to come back live. But we had to just record it and play it back because he was cursing so much. And that really kind of like made us really, really get on the map that moment. So Ray J actually inducted us into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Ray J.
Like, thank you, Ray J.
Ray J.
It also put him into a bad depression after that because it was embarrassing, you know?
Wow.
Like, he was not in his right mind when he did it. It was embarrassing for him. Everybody was talking about him. They mentioned it in songs, you know? Like, Fab said he woke up and he had like 1,000 text messages. You know, what was happening?
Holla back, younger. Holla back, youngin. And you know what's so funny? Ray J really puts people on the mat. Kardashian on some whole shit.
Yeah.
And was that, didn't that Kardashian thing happen after that situation?
No. It was before.
Ray J is like, he's really instrumental in helping people blow the fuck up in a fucked up way.
Thank you, Ray J.
He really caused this Kardashian fucking onslaught.
It would never happen without him.
Without Ray J's.
And you know, he got a lot of flack for that, for something that was orchestrated.
Yeah,
it was orchestrated.
Yeah. The mother.
Godfrey, stop.
I know. She's the pimp, right? She's the pimptress, right?
They had a plan. You know, it worked.
It was fucking, they're billions of dollars later.
Who would have thought that was, you know, everybody goes to college, get a degree. He was like, well, just suck somebody's dick on air and then you'll be a baby.
There are porn stars that are mad at that move.
Right.
So it's like, you know how many dicks I've said, you know how much cum came in my face and I'm getting $1,000 a week.
Pause.
Where's camera?
No, I'm talking about, this is me quoting another porn.
Like
you.
Still,
yo, it's like it was like that. Yo, fuck that shit. I'm from Harlem. A lot of cum in your face. I'm just saying, yo, nigga, pause on that shit.
But you know, and listen, I don't think anybody who watched that could think that it wasn't like planned.
Set up.
Yeah. It was camera set. It was great lighting. You know what I mean? It was like there's
and it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah.
But it wasn't a time where we thought things were fixed.
Right.
Like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and then
so
to
dope.
Know that like you can't put something like that out without permission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know? Oh, wow. And so from there you guys blew up and then.
Yeah. And that's what really solidified. I mean, different websites told us that was like their number one story of the year, you know? So that got a lot of attention. And I think it just really propelled from there.
Oh, that's so dope, yo. What was your biggest, your first big ass, like, interview? Big one. Like, damn, now we know we own them.
I mean, I think, let me see. Who did we interview? Hillary Clinton turned into a big deal.
Did she bring hot sauce with her?
That's Jesus the question. Because I asked her, what's one thing you always have in your purse? And she said hot
that
sauce.
That was the iconic. That's
and you know what's iconic. You know what's so great? It's so perfectly racist. She goes, I got to get black votes. Hot sauce.
But to, but I will say, because I did a deeper dive after that.
Okay.
And she has done articles talking about like the hot sauce collection she has at home. But prior to that. And she has like all these different hot sauces that she uses.
But
like hot
sauce, you think she was being genuine?
I think that
grits, hot sauce.
It was perfect timing because Beyonce has the hot sauce in her bags.
And
but then she had a honestly,
peach cobbler.
If you Google it, even before that interview, she had done interviews talking fried about chicken. How much she loved. They did like a whole thing about her love.
But it
for
just
hot sauce.
Happened to be black. People to think she didn't do
so it. So white people don't use hot sauce. Like
they use everything we use.
It hurts our tongues.
Tabasco.
Mike said, "Ouch, it hurts."
They got it has to be have raisins in it.
Shut up.
We'll put a little.
Let
pepper.
Me see a mayonnaise.
Just a little black pepper.
People do use spicy mayonnaise.
Perfectly white pepper.
So you had Hillary Clinton.
Let me see if I could find this article about her hot sauce.
Oh God. So you had Hillary Clinton. You had
that was a big deal when that happened.
That's major. Moment. That's major to have a politician
I'm telling
on
you,
that show.
Yeah, that was. And I think that made people feel like, oh, we got to go on that show. Because we had to get vetted out to do that interview. It was like a process.
Really?
Yeah.
As far as what questions are you going to ask?
Well, no,
her?
Us getting our background.
Damn. Check. Oh, because in case you choke her out or some shit.
I don't know what it was.
Bitch, you ain't going to win.
You know what I mean?
Look at this. All right. Time Magazine.
Yeah.
Well, here's what hot sauce Hillary Clinton keeps in her bag.
Depending on what radio show she goes to.
Let me see. Oh, no. Maybe this is something else before that. Oh, look. Here we go. Hillary Clinton wasn't just pandering.
Okay.
When she said that she carries hot sauce in her bag.
Man, she told them to say that because she got power like a motherfucker.
You think so?
She got set up the article and she 2 years before.
She pulls out the bottle, Sweet Willie's hot sauce.
She knew Angela Yee was going to be famous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She controls all that shit. I met her real quick on SiriusXM.
See, like I said, look, she's been talking about hot sauce in her bag for 20 plus years.
Lying motherfucker.
And they have an article from 2012.
Yeah. Every 4 years she brings it up.
Yeah.
She what has else? Sharpies, Advil, sunscreen, converters to charge her BlackBerry, and red pepper flakes, and a mini bottle of Tabasco.
What does she do? What does she have hot sauce for? Walking around? Fuck that. She going like that? I'm going to 106 and Park.
Maybe fuck. For a spicy margarita?
Whatever. Anyway. Like, okay. And then there was Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Then, what about The moments at that Birdman shit. The Birdman shit,
that shit is,
was wild.
It's a lot of iconic. When you think about it, it's like these things that are just pop culture.
Respect
that would have been
my
the
name.
First time Birdman ever came up there, too.
Respect my name. Respect. Put respect on. I was going to run up on you. That would have been gangster.
And
but
you know,
I didn't.
He asked to do that interview. Yeah. But his problem was really more with like... You know, I think it was more about Charlamagne talking about him.
And
joking about him.
What had Charlamagne said about him?
He was talking about him, like, not paying Lil Wayne, kissing Lil Wayne and things like that.
Oof.
And it's interesting because at that time I had been managing Jay Electronica. So I had been in communication with Birdman because he was talking about potentially signing him.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't have any issues. I hosted Chanel from Young Money's mixtape. And I remember, you know, she had a party. He was there. Like, we've always been on decent terms.
Was that a scary thing when he came up there? How would you?
I wouldn't say that I was scared. I just was like surprised because I was like... What just happened? I'm over here ready to.
And you had no idea.
Interview.
And
no.
Then, but what's funny is Charlamagne was like, "Well, why are you messing with the radio guy? I don't understand. Why are you messing with the radio
but
guy?"
But Birdman would say that like he thought everything he would be all right, but then he got mad when he saw him.
Dude, he just got angry right away because he was getting like nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I thought he was gonna clock the. I thought he was gonna. But Charlamagne just sat there and said, "But why are you messing with the radio guy? You didn't say shit when what's his name? You didn't say nothing about Rick Ross." You know, but what happened? I don't understand. I'm just a radio guy. I'm just saying. But you didn't do nothing when
when Rick Ross was talking shit about you,
that was bold.
Yeah, I think
Birdman, that was bold.
He should have came up there with a plan also. Right. You know what I mean? Like, right. If you know that you're upset about something, this is for anybody listening, like, have a plan.
Yeah, but it was like,
or don't do it.
A street, you know, he's a real street dude,
what
though.
What I thought was scary was Beanie.
I wasn't there that day.
Ooh, you didn't see that shit? I didn't. I seen it, but I wasn't.
Ooh, that was.
He was like, Yo, I don't play games like that. You don't do this. See, I don't play games like that.
Not from this world.
And Charlamagne be like, what'd I do? I don't know what I was saying. Yeah, he was wanting to fuck him up that day. Yeah.
I don't know that anybody would do that in the radio station.
I don't know if you've heard of Jimmy Martinez.
Okay.
With Jaheim, when they had a fight.
Wait, Jaheim?
You don't remember that?
Had a fight?
I kind of remember that. I think maybe
Jimmy was on with
that.
Sway, I think. Was it Sway?
I don't.
Wait, Jimmy Martinez?
Jimmy Martinez had a hit Jaheim in the head with a mic because he was saying that he was gay.
Wait. Who said who was gay?
Jimmy Martinez used to host radio.
Okay.
And there was these gay rumors about Jaheim, and Jimmy confronted him and he said something back, and then they fought, and then Jimmy hit him in the head with the mic.
And on the station?
You could hit.
I think you could ask anybody
if
anything,
it wasn't for the
depending on how you ask it.
Really?
You know, because I think some people ask things in a way to like have a moment and be funny.
Yeah.
But then there's a way you could have a real conversation and ask somebody something that can make it not be so explosive.
Did you ever see when Tigger like got confronted by Ghostface? When Tigger was doing,
oh yeah, yes,
and he was like, "You funny, man, you funny."
In the
And Ghostface like, "What makes me funny? What you talking about? I'm a clown and shit." And I'm thinking they're remaking the Goodfellas scene.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I asked Ghost. He goes, "Nah, man, my man was this thing's talking outside of his mouth, man. Fuck all that, man." I was like, I thought you were gonna beat his. I was like, what the?
That was on MTV, right?
Yeah. It's like that's the thing with the hip hop shit. You can say something real innocently, and they just go, "Yo, I don't do them jokes."
Kind of the way comedy is now.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But by
I was gonna say comedy. And by the way, clap it up for Godfrey.
Yo.
Yeah.
He had a conversation today with Country Wayne.
When I took a break, I was co-hosting with her yesterday. I had a Country Wayne called me.
Yeah.
He called me and I was like, "Oh shit, what's up?" And he go, "Hey man, I got what is going on, man?" You know. I was like, "What's up, man?" I started laughing. I go, "Dude, it's all good. Like the fact that you called, that's man shit. That's what I'm talking about." I go, "I never said anything bad about you. Here's the thing about Country Wayne. A lot of his fans were like, my man didn't say nothing bad about you, dog."
Right.
I'm being righteous.
Yeah.
I was complimenting you. I just said I disagree. We should be able to disagree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not, everything is a diss to us. That's a fucked up mentality. But I said, dog, it's all good. I said, I thought it was hilarious when you talked about my haircut. He was like, I was just trying to be a comedian right there. I was just trying to get you right
there. This guy be so proud of his haircut. You are.
Yo. Angie be this.
All the time.
Angie be every once in a while.
She got the shell defense.
I know. She be
the Philly shell.
Yeah, she be like this. Yo, it's like, I like that he talked about my hair because I know he was trying to be funny with that.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and Faison had my back. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had my back, but I think that he knows I wasn't being, and he knows my agent. And shout out to Jenny Kim, my agent, Innovative. She said, you know, he's one of the nicest dudes. I always heard he's really nice guy.
Well, that's why
And Angie told me, too.
That's why I got angry, because I don't ever see you. You don't never act like that to nobody.
Godfrey really don't talk about nobody like that.
I don't. And Cats be on shitting record. On me. You see how she said on the record? You little sneak, man. Boy.
When these mice go off, boy. Yeah.
How about that? Wait, hold on. What in the world's up with Angela Yee? I'm trying to be innocent. She just loves to sneak in those little jabs.
Yeah, he's very lovable, though.
It's like, no, I'm telling you, man, she doesn't like you. What do you say?
No, but that was good. I'm glad y'all had a conversation. It was funny. My producer came in the room. He was like, Godfrey's in the hallway talking to Country Wayne on the phone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
And we're laughing. I said, it's all good, dude. Like, I said, hey, man, we should, if I ever come to Atlanta, we should do a sketch or something, but you know, whatever. And I said, hey, man, I understand that shit. And I said, it was all good, but we're good to go. Mm-hmm. Bong, bong, no, Country Wayne, we good and shit. I don't know, man. I'm still feeling a certain way.
Oh,
I don't know, son.
No, he did say your shit ain't working, though.
He said, it ain't working. They ain't dealing with y'all. You got to switch it up.
Switch it up.
That motherfucker said, switch it up. You got to switch it up. And he said, hey, man, God, man, I know I talk like an old slave, but listen. That shit was funny. He did. He said, I talk like an old slave. I was laughing my ass off. Because I said he looked like an OJ, like a lost OJ with his haircut. But it's like, and it's all good, man. So it's all fucking good. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We love to see it.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful
beef
thing. Beef squashed. So now.
Make sure you tell Peter Gunn. Make sure you tell Peter that the beef is squashed.
Pete be like, yo, God, what happened with that? My man Peter Guns. Yo, so why did you leave?
Oh my God. Leave what?
The Breakfast Club.
To start way up with Angela Yee, of course.
You always wanted to have your own show?
Yeah, because I always came from having my own show.
Oh, okay.
You know, at Sirius. And then I came to the Breakfast Club. I always knew at some point I was going to do my own show again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I didn't know the Breakfast Club was going to have such a long run either.
Man, you guys were the shit.
Yeah, because that's a really long run, like 12 years.
That's beautiful, though, too.
And so, you know, towards the end of it, like maybe about 9 years in, I was, because iHeart take a long time to do anything.
Yeah.
So for three years, we. Yeah. But you know, then the pandemic hit.
Yeah. Oh man.
But we were already having conversations, like meetings, about me doing my own show,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know how it was going to happen, if I would have to stay on the Breakfast Club and then start my own show. But you know, after the pandemic, they were like, "Listen, it's time."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So.
And deal.
And they were like, they honestly were like, "You deserve this. Like, you work hard.
Yes.
You know, you do the thing. You deserve to have your own show."
That's what's up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dope.
That's so great. So,
and you don't do like long form, but I want to ask you, would you give Candace Owen a platform?
No.
No.
Why?
Well, I don't think, first of all, I would like to see her talk to somebody like a Roland Martin.
Man, everybody's I was on the phone with him yesterday.
Oh, you were? Yeah. Okay.
And he was like this, Godfrey.
And she won't talk to him.
Godfrey, won't talk to him.
Some of these Negroes are afraid of me because I got receipts.
Yeah, that's a conversation that I would like
I
to see.
I want Roland.
Somebody said he looks like MODOK. You know MODOK?
Who's MODOK?
Yo, look up.
Who's MODOK?
Wait. She doesn't talk to people who are intellectually gonna pull back. She's not smart. But she's great at deflecting and filibustering and
I think the things that she said about
Floyd,
Ahmaud Arbery, what she said about Breonna Taylor? What the fuck?
That she was a drug mule. Like
she was in the hallway, and she was so that they were all so deep in drugs, and they
things that are just not true, and it's harmful and hurtful. And so that I don't like, and I don't like to entertain things like that and to give it any type of like normalcy, because I don't think that's the type of energy that we need. Because the people that celebrate her and uplift her are not the people that I fuck with.
They're usually racist white males.
Well, yeah. You always pay some black person to confirm, and it's a grift. It's an absolute grift because they're not speaking in good faith in the first place. She did a documentary on George Floyd saying that Derek Chauvin shouldn't have that he died of a fentanyl, and he said
is she a doctor? Is she
my thing is that is so heinous of you,
and that's awful. Think about his daughter, his family.
I'm tired of sellout Negroes. these B-Wicks. I call them black when it's convenient. Fuck you. That sellout Negro shit.
No, no, that's
and then,
not, yeah.
To top it off, you got a white husband, which I'm not saying it's about, when you're talking down on black men, the deaths of black men, and you got this white husband, and then you come on these shows going, he was the perfect person for me. Go fuck yourself.
And then even
for
at
saying
time,
the shit you
even
said
at
about
a time
us.
When DEI is under attack, yeah. Right? And then yeah. She can say things like, if yeah. I see a black pilot or Asian, I automatically am going to think that they didn't deserve that job and they don't know what they're
that's
doing.
That's some dumbass shit.
That's an awful thing to say. Yeah, why do you think that yeah. people who are yeah. black can't be competent? Yeah, can't be competent. DEI doesn't mean that unqualified people get jobs. It means that it is qualified people that
yeah.
can fill
of color
that position.
That would but normally they have, get the opportunity.
And they have proven
yeah.
that having diversity when it comes to any type mm-hmm. of corporation is actually really beneficial to the bottom line.
But
so I don't,
yeah, that's right.
So.
No, here it is. It's like, so you guys are so mediocre that you never let anybody in. You never, it's no different than sports. White folks mm. never let us in anything. You're yeah. that mediocre that you didn't want any fucking challenge. And so when we get in, oh, you got lucky. No, bitch, I beat you out. You know, I literally, and if, even if they do a diversity inclusion, if the person sucks, you kick them out. Right. You get another diversity.
Yeah, but you're not
another
get
token.
That. You're just not going to get that because black
right.
people don't get that opportunity.
No, I know that.
And that's right. I'm not saying yeah, you. Yeah, right. I'm saying right. in they don't get that opportunity
that's
in
so,
the first place. But if you think about any of the crashes and any of the incompetence and the drunkenness, it was all white dudes who
yeah.
crashed planes and stuff.
Yeah,
because there were no. It's not like black people.
It's like the Tuskegee Airmen when they
you know,
came. They flew better. They were
right.
way better. Fuck out of here.
And, it's very rare that I have a black pilot or a woman pilot, even more rare. And when I do, I don't think, oh, they don't deserve that. I think amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I go, artists. I go.
You know, Data was yeah. dope.
First of
shit.
All, in aviation, you have to qualify.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
have
They're
to have the hours.
Like, let me hire this person that
yeah.
doesn't know how to fly a plane.
You're like this, what this button do?
This automatic, right?
You're like this, hi, everybody. I'm a black pilot because they gave me a chance. Yeah, well, good luck. You know what I'm saying? And that was that other dude. Who's that dude that
Thomas
said
Thomas Sowell.
Thomas Sowell, that fathead fuck. He said that. And I was like, if I see a black pilot, go fuck yourself, dude. It's like, I don't even think that because
right.
aviation is not a game.
Yeah.
And when you're
they're
trained.
They're not going to just let somebody
no,
fly. They're
going to let black
ridiculous.
People in anyway, competent or not. So.
Right. So for her to say that, it's such a sellout. And now they fired her punk ass. And now she's coming back to, we got to do like Stacey Dash. Leave mm-hmm. that bitch on a raft.
Yep.
Let her be on that sellout yep. raft. Fuck you. We supported your yep. ass. Because Roland Martin
is
stomped her into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
He literally showed it. He goes, let me, this Stacey Dash.
Go to
this,
my iPad.
This Stacey Dash.
Yeah.
Stacey Dash, I don't think you remember the first magazine your ass was on. Showed it. Could you show it? That was black.
Go to my iPad.
Right. He goes, show her another one on this Ebony magazine. Remember that? Show her 2005.
Roland rattles them dates.
He
but yeah, I would, and that's
ground.
Why I would like to see that because I wouldn't put myself in a position
yeah.
to have somebody come up there and say things that aren't true and not be able to challenge it.
Yeah.
I thought Joe Budden was going to fucking get in her ass. I thought that the Breakfast Club was going to get in her fucking ass and they didn't. She talked about her dumb marriage. Oh,
her
blah, blah,
marriage.
Blah.
And did the words to Fresh Prince.
She did the words to Fresh Prince, and she
and they were like, "Come on home, mama."
It's like a white woman patronizing
yeah.
us.
Yeah,
and
she
I'm
said
like,
she has hot sauce in her bag.
And I just thought, yo, why did you say the shit you said about black people? Now you got fired, and now you're here.
Right.
What is
well,
that?
Well, she got fired for what she said about for Jewish,
yes,
for anti-Semitism.
Thank
because
you.
She's
thank
anti-Semitic
you.
As well.
But thank yeah. you, Jewish
so
people.
Just,
thank you.
It just so happens that
mm-hmm.
her anti-Semitic is
Semitism.
It lines up with what's going on in Palestine.
Right.
But, so it just, it's one thing, it's not like she's for Palestinians.
But sometimes white people do us a favor with sellout Negroes. They fire them.
Right.
Oh, they always do.
Because she acts like Christianity is under attack.
And just
so
like
that, yeah.
and just like
and
Paris, that black dude Paris. That black
yeah.
dude Paris.
Well, they fired him though.
That fathead fuck too.
He don't work nowhere.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. We should stone these people in the fucking town.
Jason Whitlock's another one.
Jason.
Larry Elder.
Fatlock. Larry Elder's. And they all look funny.
And they're not dumb. It's not like you don't know this stuff. But it's like she does that thing about, she mimics Thomas Sowell's thing about, you know, black people need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Yeah. And it was welfare that split the black family up because black men weren't allowed to be in the house, which is not true if you research that.
But my thing is, black people made this possible for you to be on a mic saying stupid shit.
Yeah, well,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, so I just don't like to uplift. Because I think when you put people on a platform, then it means that it is kind of giving them some type of like credibility.
Yeah,
But if you're just platforming them.
Yeah,
but
giving them the platform.
My thing is, use the platform, but get in their ass. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not intellectually have the intellectual acuity to get in there, then don't do it.
Right.
And that's not even shade to anybody. Like, I'm not a politician. I'm not a political analyst. That's not what I do. Right. I pay attention to what's going on and I can have a conversation.
But we'll see if she goes
when
rolling.
Things are. I can't see that happening.
That would be. I will sit and wait for that day. Like, and roll it. I hope so. Because I'm sorry. Black people tour is fucking annoying me. It's making my ass itch.
I don't know that she's saying I'm sorry.
No. I'm not. Okay. No. She's not literally saying. It's called just implying, like, "Hey guys, what's up?
Yeah.
Yo." And then she's carving her way out. Like she gives a fuck.
In the hood, they like she's got a point.
Yeah.
Because when she does debate people, she filibusters.
Of course, it's some. She says some small. Yeah.
It's not even smart. It's a half truth. And most people are not going to do the diligence to research it to know exactly what she
and like everything you say is not going to be wrong. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you can have a point sometimes.
Right. So anyway, that's okay. Enough of that fucking clown. Now, I have to say this to this is a respect thing. Lou Gossett Jr. passed away. You know, Lou Gossett, who we grew up on, Lou Gossett Jr. Like, are you fucking kidding? One of the greatest actors to ever grace a screen or a stage, Lou Gossett. The reason why we sit here is because of people like Lou Gossett. And Fantasia sang to him, which was so like your eyes water up. When they were filming Color Purple.
Yeah.
I don't know if we got a video of Fantasia just singing to him in the car to Lou Gossett Jr., who you all... Anybody, it's your due diligence to see who Lou Gossett was. Roots, you know, sitcoms, plays. He was the first to win the Best Supporting Actor for Officer and a Gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up on Lou Gossett. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And these are the
Digstown.
People.
Remember Digstown?
Digstown was great. He's a boxer.
Yeah, Enemy Mine.
With Laura Dern's dad, Brian Dern. Yeah. You want to see? Can we show this?
Yeah, we have it right here.
It's so great. It's so great. Watch this, man. To Lou Gossett Jr.
We thank you for everything.
Blow that up.
That you've done.
He's trying all to be the words
and races you run. Lou, we thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you.
Oh, that's just so great. Nothing there's good, Coleman yeah. Domingo, and he's a that boy can act. And you know, just that is just what should happen to our elders, people before us. That's respect, man.
Yeah, I love
that's
Fantasia.
She's so great. She's really
You know, I had her on lip service before. She said that she wants to sing at my wedding. And I was like, should I just get married so Fantasia?
Yeah. She'll sing at anything you throw.
I love Fantasia.
I like what she's come from. When she can get all the discrepancies she used to get, she's really just coming
and
to this.
Sweet. Just
yeah, and she's coming to this like maturity and professionalism. Mm-hmm. She's so dope. I mean, I love everything she's done. She's stayed forward. The positivity she gives to everybody else and how innocent she is when she, you know, in acting, she has such a respect for it.
Right.
She's
amazing.
Dope. She's fucking dope. I'm going to call her Fantastica. I'm going to make sure I covered that. Oh, and Lizzo's quitting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that she's really going to quit. I think she gets really...
She should. No, go ahead.
Stop it.
I'm just kidding.
I think that it's really hard to be in the public eye like that and
she's
have
talented.
So much criticism all the time, no matter what she does. You know, I interviewed her for South by Southwest for her keynote 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how much hate she gets until I did that interview. And then I was looking at my comments and people were so nasty. Like, she's just sitting there. She had her show that was on Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Watch out for the big girls.
Yeah. And when I tell you they was going, I was like, this is a human being. Like, yeah, I think sometimes people on social media don't understand that like she has feelings. And I know that people will be like, oh, well, she shouldn't have dressed like that. She was at the basketball game.
But that was really irresponsible.
You know what I think?
Very much so.
I think that she gets so much criticism for her weight and how she looks, even though she works out hard. You know, and sometimes that's not easy. I don't think it's people will tell you, oh, just eat less and work out more.
No, it's not easy at all.
Happen that way. But sometimes I feel like, and I don't know that this is true, but you go the opposite way of like trying to be very like bold in your face because you get so much criticism. It's kind of like a big F you to everybody.
Yeah.
To just be like, all right, I'm gonna have my ass out. You got a problem with it? Because everybody has a problem with it no matter what she does.
Yeah, I think that was irresponsible, but I don't know her. I think she's talented as shit with the flute playing and all. She's so skilled.
But you had to plan that. But you got That's something you planned.
My thing is that was dumb in front of children. That was just a dumb move. If she was at a party you're at the game and there's kids. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I heard, I might be wrong, she's very nasty to her people around her, like a Nicki Minaj, nasty to her. I know somebody that was in her crew. She was very mean to people. I don't know if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
But she's been very, because she gets a little fame. Yeah. She's not a legend. And you're already shitting on people. Stop. Like, this is what I heard.
And I will say,
every
time that I met her, she's been so pleasant to me. But okay, I know it's cool. So it's different. I'm not.
Right, right.
You know, but I.
Your media.
Just for me to say that, like, you know, every time I've been around her, she's been very nice. She did lip service before, too.
Okay.
And they requested for her to come on to do that. And then I did that keynote. And she's always been so nice. Even when we did the keynote, she was like, I'm really nervous. Like,
well, that's
very
I hope.
Yeah, but sometimes when you get in that kind of hate and you're insecure about it, you're right. You overcompensate.
Yeah.
But when you overcompensate, then people go, yo, what the fuck is... like?
It's like you can't win.
Yeah, like... I think if you're more humble... I mean, nobody ever called Aretha Franklin fat.
No.
You know what I mean?
Because Aretha was the shit.
Just always.
And
she wasn't twerking
Aretha
at basketball
Franklin
games.
Looked like she was beautiful.
She looked amazing.
Yeah.
She was
beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was...
I think she held herself with a level of class.
Of course.
That didn't lend itself.
Well, her pops was a pastor.
Yeah.
Dr. King was friends with her. Those people came to her house in Detroit.
Oh, my God. When I watched that movie...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know all those things.
Those were regular people in her house, and she has the highest selling live gospel album. Mm-hmm. That there's a documentary on it.
I saw that too on the plane.
Amazing. Me too. It is amazing with James Cleveland at the piano.
I love some Aretha.
And Mick Jagger's in the audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mick loved black people. Mick is in there like. But yo, that's. I hope, you know what? I hope she doesn't quit, and she's very talented.
Yeah.
And I think she can reinvent herself.
She said she's not quitting. She's quitting the hate is what.
She should do is not rebel against it.
Just work.
Come in, just work and do your
head down and work.
It was like what's her name, the sprinter, Sha'Carri Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Usain Bolt said, "Hey, enough talking. Enough of that emotional shit. Put your head down and train." And that's what she did. And she got athlete of the year. She's killing it now.
I feel like Lizzo does do that for periods of time. But as soon as she comes back, people got
she just should
shit to
just
say.
Still stick with that.
If she doesn't,
don't react. She can do it. She needs a team to be like, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
She really needs that. And I think she's dope. I think she's talented as shit. And that's all she needs to do. She needs to do that. You know what I mean?
Well, take care of yourself, girl.
Take care of yourself. And I wish you well. And I really do wish her well. And I want to see her place. I want to see her at Carnegie Hall doing some flu shit.
Dante's tired.
Tired.
I think it's time.
I don't care.
What time is it?
We got another hour. No. You yawn all
one more hour.
Keep on, sleepy boy. No one gives a shit. No, this was great. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Finally.
Yeah, you're always welcome whenever you have time and later on in life you want to come back again. But I always look forward to coming to your show.
Thank you. I'm glad.
And co-hosting and shit
and
like that.
You live right there, you know?
I mean, right there.
Literally.
Walk up the block.
Yeah, I walk up the block. So, you know, I hope you get more, a section where you can talk more. You need to get something. Yeah, no, something needs to happen.
We're going
to
figure that out between us.
Shit, I'm like this. I'd be like this. So, what? Thank you. We're going to go to. Hey, and now we're going to shine a light. And now we're going to. Oh, hi.
Hey.
I go like this. And this is my boy, Gary. Hi. Thank you with Angela Yee.
Let's go get a sandwich.
You got a commercial wing.
So, this is great, you guys. Angela Yee, Way Up with Angela Yee, 10 a.m. All right. Monday through Friday. iHeart Radio.
You can listen on the app. You can listen wherever city you're in. We're in like 50 markets, but you can always listen on the app.
Yeah. Dante, where can they find you?
Google me, everything. Y'all know Dante Nero. The podcast is Man School 202.
You really fading out.
I'm tired. I was up at 6.
Go ahead. They'd be like, Dante be yawning into the mic. Yeah, we're so not perfect. We're human.
It's just funny. Because you all of a sudden got tired.
Yeah, we're not going to freak like that. Go ahead.
What a baby.
Dante Nero, Man School 202, consultations at DanteNero.com. Click on consult. And my Patreon is patreon.com/manschool202.
Yo, guys. All right. My GoFundMe.
Yes, please. Can we do that? It's
on GoFundMe. And Italians, don't go fuck yourself. How about that one? .com. All right. Yo, GoFundMe. I'm raising money to have my own special, my friends. That's right. I'm raising, because you know what? If the people can do it, you have your own control. That's always the best. You know what I mean? And I want to be, I think I'm one of the first comedians to be doing this.
The newest.
What's the newest one, Mike?
We have newest donors. We have Timothy Regisford, Michael T. Bookman, Carla Smith, and Tumble W. But the top donor is still Ruthie T. with $500.
That is so. $501.
Wow.
I'm gonna say your name every week.
You're like the top retail prices, 501. Angela Yee. But I appreciate that. That was, you guys don't understand whether it's $1,000, $1, $2. Somebody asked me, what is this? I go, stop. Listen, stop. I'm not asking you for $200 on your own. There's more than 200,000 people on the planet. It's not impossible for this to happen. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It's me. I'm doing a comedy special. It's what I specialize in. Why are you questioning me? You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I want to do that because we're taking things into our own hands. And it's going to be me and the people are the executive producers. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this. It's going to happen. I got the best people who are going to film this special. I got them lined up, but
so
we got to pay
really
them.
Happening.
Oh, no, it's not.
You're not going to just take the money and
they'll fucking sue my ass.
If he does, I'll hit him with a brick.
Yeah. I'll hit him with a brick and I'll be like,
coming.
I'll be the brick ladies. Some black dude hit me in the face with a brick. But yes.
If you donate money, they'll be on your special, correct? Aren't you going to do like a wall of
names? A wall of, yes. Okay. I'll do a wall of donors.
If you donate and put your name, he'll have a wall of donors at the end.
Yes.
See what people do.
And you guys, if you watch it, you got to slow down and pause your thing so you can see your name.
It's going to be really like a Star Wars.
Executive producer. They got to be like levels.
Let's
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The more you donate, the bigger it'll be.
Yeah.
Top 10 donors get a ticket to come.
Yeah. And in fact, I'll have it like Star Wars going at an angle.
Yeah.
Like the credits. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So so it's in the description. The link
it's
is in
right
the description.
They support the GoFundMe with a link right there.
And the Godfrey Podcast IG, there's a link right there. And I'm gonna do it on Godfrey Comic. Godfrey Comic is my new account. Godfrey Comic. Follow right now. If you haven't followed now, follow right now. Godfrey COMIC. What's up?
Dude, how many followers do we have on the YouTube channel?
On the YouTube
we haven't covered that.
How many subscribers?
Subscribers. Yeah.
Oh, what is the subscribers?
We haven't done that.
Well, Night Owls, we have a ton of Night Owls watching now. We
nice.
Have 236 Night Owls.
Wow.
Nice.
That's great.
When it comes to total subscribers, we have, this is evil. 466,666.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Hurry. So, someone subscribe right now so we can get off the 66s. Thank you. This is great. We're coming towards 500,000.
Almost there.
We can, and you guys keep watching Club Shay Shay. It's at 2.6 million.
Oh, wow. It is?
Yeah, man.
That's amazing.
It's at 2.6 million. Keep watching it. They get views, man. Let them clicks happen, man. And I think it's worth watching over and over. You can catch some gems and shit like that. You know what I mean? And also, this week is Richmond, Virginia. Richmond Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia. All right, April 5th to the 7th. And then it's April 19th to the 21st is Tampa Funny Bone. It's no longer the Improv. It's Tampa Funny Bone. April 19th to the 21st. Go to GodfreyLive.com to see all of the dates, right? And leave your email address. I need your email addresses so I can, you know, send you an email blast to where I'm going to be. Very important. And for you all, in Texas, Addison Improv, it's May 2nd to the 4th, actually. They switched this a new date. May 2nd to the 4th is Addison Improv in Dallas-Fort Worth. Addison Improv, May 2nd to the 4th. All right. Then we got Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. That's May 9th to the 11th. Stand Up Live, Phoenix, Arizona. Stand Up Live, Phoenix, Arizona. The May 9th to the 11th. Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, and shout out to Jacksonville. Thank you guys for coming out to the Comedy Zone. Thank you. It was my first time there. We were in a Ramada. We'll never do that again. The Ramada. I mean, the club is there, but I ain't staying in that bitch. I thought the Ramada was named after somebody, like Joe Ramada. No.
The Ramada Inn?
I looked up the definition. A Ramada is an open shelter with branches on the top.
Oh, wow.
And that's exactly what the fuck it looked like. Ramadas are in a...
It's like a Holiday Inn.
They're in a time warp. Holiday Inn has improved their shit. Holiday Inn Express. Ramadas is like, now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. You know what I mean? Gary Coleman opened up for me, okay? Anyway, but yeah, shout out to the Comedy Zone. I'll see you guys next time I come down there. This has been fantastic. I think I said everything, right?
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys click join to become a night owl. Godfrey 14 gets you 2 weeks at guestdigital.com for free.
Yeah, man, you guys, peace out, all that. And check out the t-shirt one more time. Stevie Wonder, shout out to the legend. Let's go. We out.
Peace.
Now you with the guard. I say you with the guard free. Now you with the guard. I say you with the guard free. He ain't playing around with none of these lanes, but I guarantee you'll be entertained and watch him drop some knowledge on your brain.